Good evening, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of Answer the Call. My name is Brother James, and I'm honored and grateful to be here tonight with all of you who have set this as a time apart to listen to and study God's love letter to mankind, the Holy Bible. Now, if you have your Bibles handy, and I pray you do, join with me once again in the book of James, looking tonight to chapter 4. Now, faithful listeners may recall we have been largely using our time together over the past several months to look into and examine this epistle of James, the brother of the Lord, and tonight we will be continuing our study of this wonderful word of instruction, encouragement, and rebuke to believers of all generations. Now, picking up tonight, beginning with the first 12 verses in chapter 4, in this study I've entitled, Opening the Floodgates Within to Overcome Sin, as it is written, From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Over the next two broadcasts, friends, we will be considering the root and cause of strife and conflict, as well as examine four conditions or spiritual agreements we must come to and fulfill if indeed we truly wish to bear the mantle of the peace of God upon our shoulders. Amen. You know, July will mark 20 years since I've welcomed the Lord into my life. During those years, I've been a member of three different churches, and in that time, I've often seen men and women who, upon sitting through one or two services, decide that the Lord has sent them to that church to reform that church. Now, these individuals, I believe, have good intentions, but often have struggles and besetting sins, rough edges, coarse language, or unchecked addictions prevalent in their lives. Yet they are the first to announce the KJV is obsolete, or that perhaps our hymns are much too old-fashioned, our dress too formal, or our views based too much upon the law when the more perfect gospel is one of grace. They often seem to fail to consider that perhaps they were not directed to our church to dynamically change the character of our body. Rather, perhaps, they were guided there to be radically transformed themselves by good old-fashioned preaching and teaching, by the old hymns which rely not upon driving drums and bass or vain repetition of words. Rather, our hymns, friends, are built upon and around solid scriptural truths that have been echoed in song for hundreds of years by generations of believers. Amen. Now, I'm not saying ours or any church is perfect, or that there isn't room for improvement. But friends, if you find yourself in that situation, I encourage you to consider the history of the church you find yourself in. If they have been teaching and preaching the word for 10 or 15, 20 years, if they have active outreach ministries, if they go soul winning or street preaching, if they are being an active blessing to the community, then consider that perhaps you may not be sent to reform the church, rather to reform your own walk. God's word and its application is the refining fire that has the power to take you from a lowly sinner kneeling at the foot of the cross to a mighty soldier of the Lord, standing in the front lines against the assaults of the enemy. Salvation comes by no other name but Jesus. But accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior should just be the beginning. Amen. We must work to humble our hearts, as it is written in verses 7 through 12. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Now, friends, Christians are no less driven by our hearts and emotions than any other person. Our salvation lies only in God's word, which reminds us that our hearts are deceitfully wicked, and that the way that seemeth right unto a man indeed leads to death and hell, not the narrow path we should all seek after. All these things are nothing new, as we can see from both these verses, as well as this excerpt from the renowned theologian Matthew Henry's commentary on the opening of the James chapter 4, where he in part writes, "The apostle here reproves both the Hebrew people and the Christian converts for their wars and for their lusts as the cause of them. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? The people at that time were a seditious people, and had therefore frequent wars with the Romans. They were also a quarrelsome, divided people, often fighting among themselves. And many of those corrupt Christians against whose errors and vices this epistle was written, seem to have fallen in with the common quarrels. Hereupon our apostle informs them that the origin of their wars and fightings were not, as they pretended, a true zeal for their country and for the honor of God, but that their prevailing lusts were the cause of all. Observe hence what is sheltered and shrouded under a spacious pretense of zeal for God and religion often comes from men's pride, malice, covetousness, ambition, and revenge." Friends, we must always check our feelings against God's word. As I reiterated earlier, our hearts are wicked. Our minds can be misled by our hearts to believe that the fulfillment of our lusts serve God. But I tell you the truth, that friendship with the world and the satiation of the flesh are things that will cause God to remove the blessings from your life. As we see in verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God?" These words are true today, just as they were so long ago. And Paul picks this topic up in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 through 26, where he writes to young Timothy, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And Paul continues this same train of thought in Galatians 5, 19 through 26. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such
there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, friends, there is much more I had to say tonight. And indeed, next week we'll pick up when we will continue this study examining four conditions or spiritual agreements we must come to and fulfill if indeed we truly wish to walk with the Lord and bear the mantle of the peace of God upon our shoulders. Amen. But tonight, friends, in closing, the truth is that each and every day we wake up to a choice, a decision. Do we begin our day with prayer and God's word? Or do we start our day by seeking after the world? Do you open your Bible first, or do you open your internet browser, friends? That's a good question, and I know that I don't always have the correct answer. But friend, I'm struggling and I'm striving just like all of you. But the good news is, friend, is God continues to give us a chance, a choice, and a new opportunity each and every day when we wake up. So tomorrow, will you seek sustenance from the Father before anything else, or sustenance for the flesh? Will God be our first thought or an afterthought? Do you really truly wish to bear God's peace, or are you going to be a carrier of conflict? Won't you strive for just a little bit closer walk with our Lord tonight? Beloved, if the Lord should tarry no longer, and that last trump should sound, and he should come calling tonight, would you be ready to see him? Would you be greeting him, Lord, brothers and sisters? Would you fall down on your knees and worship him? Would you, my friend, be willing to answer the call?